Welcome to Dalham FM. Our podcast this week comes from Olive Class. Hello, Olive Class.
Hi.
Could you start by telling us what your project question is this term?
What did the Greeks do for us?
And what have you learned so far?
The ancient Greek emerged around 8000 BC and lasted until around 600 AD. The Greek civilization overlapped with the second half of Egyptian civilization. The Roman Empire followed the Greek civilization and adopted many of the Greek ideas.
But Greece wasn't one single country then. It was actually made up of several city-states like Athens and Sparta who used to fight each other.
So what did the Greeks do for us?
Their legacy is wide-ranging, including democracy and the Olympic Games.
Democracy is a type of government where the power rests with the people who can vote for their leaders and representatives. Great Britain is a democratic country because we vote for our government and laws. Did you know democracy originated in the city-state of Athens and has been adopted by most countries in the world today?
No, I didn't know that. What else did the Greeks do for us?
Going to the theatre was a big part of Greek life. Theatres were larger and could hold around 20,000 people, which is more than the Hallowell Jones Stadium. Theatres were open-air, bowl-shaped and often built into the hillside. The audience sat on stone benches and watched several plays. After watching three tragedies, they were cheered up with a comedy. William Shakespeare was influenced by Greek drama and we still imitate Greek ideas today in Broadway shows and films.
The Greeks also had several myths, such as Theseus and the Minotaur. The Minotaur was a terrible monster with the head of a boar and the body of a man who lived in a maze on the island of Crete. Every 9 years, seven younger men and seven young girls from Athens were sacrificed to the Minotaur until Theseus took his place of one of their youths. He fell in love with the daughter of the king of Crete, who gave him a bow of string and a magic sword. He used the sword to kill the Minotaur and the string to find his way out of the maze afterwards.
As well as drama, the Greeks were excellent mathematicians and scientists, giving us theories and equations that are still used today, like Pythagoras' theorem. In medicine, Hippocrates was a Greek doctor who is called the father of medicine. He developed principles that are still used by doctors today, like the idea of patient confidentiality. The promise that doctors make about how they'll carry out their work today is named after him and is called the Hippocratic Oath.
Wow, that is a wide-ranging legacy. You mentioned the Olympic Games. Tell me more about that.
The first Olympic Games were held in 776 BC, and a truce would be held between rival city-states so that athletes could take part. The games were as much a religious event as a sporting one, as they were held in honour of the god Zeus, who considered to be the father of all gods. 100 oxen were sacrificed to Zeus on the middle day of the games. Oxen are cows.
There were fewer sports than in today's Olympic Games, with a maximum of 20 at any games, and victorious athletes won olive leaf wreaths or crowns rather than medals, even including events including running, wrestling, boxing and chariot racing.
That's not fair!
But women were allowed to enter horses that they owned in a chariot race.
All of the marathon race traces its origins back to Greek times, it was not an event in the ancient Greek Olympics. The Battle of Marathon was fought in 490 BC between an army from Persia and the other army of Athens. The army from Persia was expected to win, so when Athens won, they were surprised and ecstatic. They sent their best runner back to Athens to tell everyone the good news. It was about 25 miles back to Athens, and he died of exhaustion when he arrived.
Poor guy, that must have been some run. So, democracy, math, medicine, drama, sport. Is there anything else that the amazing Greeks gave us?
Actually, there is. The Greeks were also great architects.
That means they were good at designing buildings.
The Greeks used columns to support their buildings. They had three different column styles. The simplest was the Doric, which had no decoration and was wider at the base than the top. These columns were used on the Parthenon, one of the most famous buildings in ancient Greece. The temple of goddess Athena, who was the daughter of Zeus.
The Ionic column was decorated with scrolls at the top, and the most fancy column was the Corinthian, which was decorated with scrolls and leaves. The Greek building style was copied by the Romans and has been imitating it in lots of modern buildings, such as the Capitol building and Supreme Court in America, and even St. George's Hall in Liverpool.
Wow, that really is an impressive legacy. What else have you been learning about?
Our science topic last term was biology based. We were thinking about living things and the habitats.
Our famous scientist was David Attenborough, whose 96th birthday was on the 8th of May. In addition to researching his career, which has seen him make nature documentaries on every continent on Earth, be knighted by the Queen and be named Champion of the Earth by the United Nations, we also made him birthday cards and wrote him a letter.
We even received a handwritten letter in reply. We have also researched the life cycles of different animals and looked at the similarities and differences.
For a chance to win £10, if you know the stages in the life cycle of any animal, write it on a piece of paper with your name and class and give it to Mrs. Parfrey or Mr. Bolter by 9 o'clock on Monday morning.
So what's the same and what's different between the life cycles of different types of animals?
Young mammals often look like smaller versions of their parents, whereas young amphibians and insects often look very different from their parents.
Birds and insects both lay eggs, but mammals give birth to live babies.
In our classroom, we observed the life cycle of ladybirds over several weeks as they started off as eggs.
Stop! Don't tell them all the stages. Remember the PowerPoint competition.
Oh yes, we successfully raised a few ladybirds that we released into the wild with Ash class to find green fly to eat.
Green fly?
Yes, some insects eat other insects. It's part of the food chain.
You said you were learning about living things. Have you learned about plants as well?
Yes, we've looked at the life cycle of plants as well. We dissected a flower.
That means we're carefully cutting it up to study its inner parts.
And found out that the pollen has to get from the anthers of one of the flowers to the stigma of another flower. The anthers are a part of a male section of a flower, and the stigma is a piece of the female part of a flower.
That's where pollinators such as bees, butterfly, and even wind come in. They help to move the pollen between flowers. The brightly coloured flowers and the beautiful scents of flowers are designed to attract insects so that flowers can be pollinated and seeds produced.
We've grown our own poppies from seeds and watched them how they grow.
And we try to pollinate the flowers, so now we're watching to see if they get any seeds so the process can start again.
Thank you for sharing your fantastic learning with us, Olive Class. Now, for news from around the school. Miss Worcester completed a 2-hour spin class for the River Reeds charity this week. Well done, and we hope you're not too sore. Oak Class are selling cakes on Tuesday the 29th and Wednesday the 30th of June at break time for 50p per cake. The money will pay for costumes needed for the Leavers play. So don't forget your cash, folks. See ya!